So, as a cash practice, you have some unique needs, even more so now in our current economic environment that we found ourselves in. This is why we switched over to PT Everywhere for my practice, Athlete's Potential. Look, all in one place, we can manage patient schedules, home exercise plans, telehealth, and communicating back and forth with our clients, which has saved us a ton of time every single week, every single month, and every single day, not just myself, but my staff. And right now, you might just be a single practitioner, but eventually you want to grow into having multiple people and a true business. And what we wanted was a platform that could hold up to multiple practices, multiple clinicians, and scale with us as we go. So if you're just getting started, this is a great platform to take a look at. If you are growing and you're adding other people, this is a great platform that can grow with you and you won't have to worry about switching later. So if you're interested in saving some time and having everything in one place, head over to PTEverywhere.com and check out what they have to offer for your business and with their platform.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
What's up, guys? Danny Matei here with Eve Gigi. And we are getting into our three core areas that you have to focus on as a cash practice to be able to make it work, to be able to make this your full-time job where you never have to work for someone else the rest of your life. So for those of you that are, those of you that are new to the group, maybe you've never listened to a podcast or read the book. What we have basically done is taken lessons learned, things that we've implemented with our own businesses, practices, cash practices we still own and run in very much of a passive manner at this point, and share them with you guys about how you can really start to accelerate and build these practices that took us years. We see people get to the same stage within like 12 months. It's crazy, right? Because what we found is if you focus on the right things, you get really, you know, fast accelerated change versus trying to like figure it all out yourself, which is what we did. That took a long time. It was very slow and a lot of painful errors with that. So today we're going to go through our three core areas. So this is for anybody that's looking to honestly start or grow their practice. We kind of see these three areas get people up to that. I don't know what you say, Eve, maybe like $20,000 mark, just focusing on these, where then they have to start looking at building a team and things change a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the person, but 100%, like 10 to 20K mark. Like these are things that if we would have implemented them early on, I definitely would have saved probably literally a year or two of frustration. So I'm just like super pumped about just giving it to people right now. And we've now seen it. It's like, hey, do these three things, start out, you know, by investing yourself, selling these high ticket packages and marketing the right way, not the way you learned in PT school. And the growth that people have so quickly, like, you know, like Roger at some point, we'll hopefully interview him getting to 20K, like insanely fast, getting to 10K, you know, like in a month or two, it's like bananas. I'm loving seeing it.
Yeah. And we followed up, I followed up with one of our mastermind members for a year-end call, on Friday. And, you know, there were, so they started their practice in January. Then, you know, they had half of March where it was shut down, all of April where it was shut down, and then back open in May, in a limited fashion. So, I mean, talk about a kind of a crazy time to start one of these businesses. They're already at $150,000 in gross revenue for year one. And they just had a 30,000 plus revenue month for the month of October. And they haven't even had their business for 12 months, let alone 12 months of actually being able to run the business, right? I mean, it took me 3 years to get to that point, really. You know, I mean, it's crazy how much faster they're able to do it. But a lot of it is because, you know, the model is starting to be more simplified and repeatable across the country, as well as in particular right now, people are looking for more low volume, you know, manage contact points types of businesses. And go figure, we just did this because we thought it was the right way to work with clients, right way to work with patients. It just so happens it's also a more effective way to work with them during a pandemic. So it's been a, definitely a good thing for a lot of our businesses. And I mean, we had so many people that PR'd their businesses basically in October over and over again. We hear people have like, they've had the best month that they've ever had. So yeah, to get into the three, you know, like these are the three big ones. We're going to kind of take a little bit of a deep dive on each of these. But the first one, number one is, look, you're your greatest investment. First of all, if you don't take a chance on yourself, there's nothing you're going to, you know, gain from that, right? You can have a great life and really enjoy working for somebody else. And there's nothing wrong with being an employee. I actually think it's great. We need people that want that steady clinical work. They want to be a clinical expert and they want to become world-class at that. We need people like that, but we also need to learn how to get to the point where we can hire people like that. And in order to do that, you have to invest in yourself to learn how to build your business skill sets to match up with your clinical skill sets. And more than anything, what we see is it's more of a mindset issue early on. I mean, really 99% of the people out the gate, it's mindset. They don't think people will pay them. They don't know how to charge for what they're, you know, what they're worth. So they undercharge a ton. Every little thing that, you know, is positive or negative either makes them have the best day ever or it ruins their day. It's the entrepreneurial roller coaster, you know, and what they don't have is the knowledge, the skill set, and the network of people to really be able to push them in the right direction and make sure they're focusing on the right thing. So ironically, the person I'm talking to was the, you know, the first person actually came to work with me in a consulting capacity in Atlanta. And, you know, Eve invested himself after having owned an in-network practice to learn how to run one of these cash practices. And I think it's so smart, you know? And so I think for you, Eve, when we look at this and people's barriers to doing this and getting information, investing in themselves, what do you think really holds people back the most?
Yeah, I really think they don't think it's possible, right? Like you go to PT school and you look around and all the training, all your rotations, everything that your professors tell you, right, is a model that is go market your positions. You need a ton of money to start a practice, right? And you're going to struggle to get referrals forever, right? And like nothing about local marketing, nothing about high ticket, very little about health and wellness, right? So like you come out and you have absolutely no idea, right? So I would say that's a huge one. Number two is you don't get any, which still is crazy to me, you don't get any business or entrepreneurial training. There's more of it now. I've heard more of it now coming down the pipe, right? But pretty much you're not getting any of the training, which is kind of nice for us, right? Because that's what we're teaching. So I don't mind. But at the same time, like getting somebody from square zero is so hard. We have to unlearn and then literally break so many beliefs before they can actually say, all right, it's time. I need to go do this. Like, I know this is possible. That's yeah. A good thing I see.
And I think the other thing, well, look, my experience in PT school, it was a military school, right? So like no one's talking to me about insurance or whatever, you know, the business side of things. There's literally no reason to talk about that. You know, and I think that when we look at by and large, the people that are teaching, if they have their own practice, in many cases, it's going to be in network or they're a partner in a network practice. So this idea of a cash practice, maybe you don't have anybody around you that's doing something like that. But maybe you do. Maybe you do see somebody that's a professor that's doing that on the side. I think it's actually, we work with multiple professors that have a cash practice on the side. Yeah. I think it's actually the best type of practice for a professor to own because, you know, it's so low overhead, simple. They can, you know, work on their hours around their professor hours and they can supplement their income really well, you know? So, but I just don't think there's as many of them out there. Are there people that have in-network practices? So you see what is in front of you. You don't really see what is out there. That being said, when you look at some of these Facebook groups and things like that, like there's a lot of reach people have. There's a lot of things with social media that you can see. And I think it's breaking the false belief of what's possible. That's so big. And, you know, the other big piece I think is it's a view of a cost versus an investment. And when I talk to people, one of the first things that I like talk to them about is if they're the right fit to really go forward with getting help on the things they need to really build one of these businesses is just how much money it costs them to get their degree. And, you know, I would love to see if you're listening to this and, you know, you type in the comments, like it's gonna be a ballpark of how much debt you went into to get your degree as a clinician to be able to practice. You know, from what we see, most people are around $100,000, based on the 100 or so people we work with our mastermind, and people that we've asked in other coaching programs that we work with. So, you know, if we do the math on it, you paid $100,000 to really come out of school and make $60,000, maybe $70,000, taking a clinical job, and the ROI on that is not good. You know, and when we start looking at this with people, it's like, you know, so John said 80,000, okay, $80,000 to come out and make 60 to 70, right? I mean, that's the reality. And that's what really frustrates people is they have the, what they know is valuable. They just don't know how to leverage it in the right way. And Blake says 100K, so 100K in. And if we can take a small fraction of that to then invest in the clinical or the business side to match up with that, and you can double, triple what you can make for somebody else, no ceiling to that. It could be way higher than that. But on the low end, we're seeing people easily double what they're making for themselves within 1 to 2 years by actually leveraging the business side. So I think it's cost versus investment. And, you know, I'd love to hear what you think about that, because I totally get it. When somebody's coming out of school, they don't have any money, they're broke, they got all these student loans, and it's like, shit, I got, you know, I have to go into more, you know, debt, or I need to find more money to be able to leverage this. It's like, well, what are your alternatives?
Yeah. I mean, so here's the other thing on a broad spectrum. Like, we typically, most of us who are physical therapists are innately not risk takers, right? Like, we've got into this kind of comfortable job, not a ton of risk, right? And a lot of us were thinking, at least it's a little bit less now, but when I came in, like, it was this allure of like, some point you'll make six figures, and you kind of thought that going in. It's kind of less now. That was kind of the heyday in the 90s, right? But like, we're not innately risk takers, and we thought we were coming out with kind of like this comfortable, right? Like a job we're passionate about. And what I think needs to be highlighted is that not only do we have a ton of student debt and don't have enough income to live, buy a house, and pay it off in a reasonable manner, you know, at the same time, I'm gonna say, how to put this in a nice way, like, we're not willing to take, like you said, that chance on ourselves to invest, which is a fraction, let's go, like a fraction of the cost of what PT school, grad school, undergrad is, to actually make the investment and learn all these skills, which we've seen, like you said, which makes me think we've got to get Joel on here, by the way, who just like has paid off, you know, all of their student debt in about a year and reinvesting all of that income to do that, right? At the same time, you know, building a business for himself that at some point, like we are, will provide passive revenue because he's going to hire somebody, he's going to be able to go on vacation and kind of still make money, which is just so cool and rewarding to see.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I had, like, Joel's a great example, right? So some people will say, all right, well, you know, yes, what's the fast way to pay off debt? Is to be reasonable with your money, but make a hell of a lot more, and then throw that towards your debt, right? And even let's take the, you know, the payoff debt king, Dave Ramsey. Like, he talks about getting a side, like a second job. He's like, go deliver pizzas. If you have a degree like this, don't deliver pizzas. How about you just leverage it in a slightly different way, and you'll make a lot more money than delivering pizzas, you know? And the challenge is, and actually I talked to somebody on the phone last week that I got a little bit of pushback on this with, you know, and he was like, well, Dave Ramsey says you shouldn't go into debt to make more money, right? Well, Dave Ramsey also speaks to people that make $50,000-$60,000 a year about them, you know, getting out of credit card debt. But let's get one thing straight. Dave Ramsey is an entrepreneur. He makes the vast majority of his money being an entrepreneur, selling books, selling courses, doing live events, as well as has his own entrepreneur coaching program. Okay. So it's Dave Ramsey didn't get wealthy by doing the envelope system and taking $20 out to pay for his groceries and any more than that. And that was it. And I know, because I did that shit for 2 years and it sucks. Now, did I pay debt down? For sure. Was I miserable? And did my wife and I have a terrible time going to Chick-fil-A, splitting a sandwich, and then going to Costco and looking at shit we wanted to buy for 2 years? Yeah, it sucked. Like, it sucked, but we had enough discipline to do it. And I also didn't even think about the idea of, well, what if I could just make more by doing something else? Otherwise, I probably would have, you know? So I think we have to look at your ability to leverage your skill set. If you don't know how to leverage it, you can figure it out. There's for sure. The problem is it takes forever, and you can make a ton of mistakes. And oftentimes what we see is people are in the same place a year later than whenever they start, because they don't view themselves as an investment. They view their time as more, they're willing to give up. Like, they're like, dude, I'll spend 10 hours trying to figure out how to like do the right super bill or whatever. It's like, okay, versus somebody can do that in a minute that knows what they're doing because they've done it over and over again. So what's the time cost for most people? So you have to really reframe yourself instead of looking at education as a cost, association of different networks and groups as a cost. You have to view it as an investment and quite possibly the best investment you can possibly make, because if you're willing to do the work, this is the linchpin. This is why people love throwing money into mutual funds and stocks, because they throw it in, they're like, I'm going to put it in Apple stock and I'm going to be rich one day. Dude, if that's your idea of like your path to wealth, you're screwed. All right. It's not going to happen. And you have no control over that. Versus how about you learn how to improve your own skill set, put the work in on your own business, your own, you know, skills to leverage that and dramatically change where your financial position is, not even talking about the ability to actually work with the people that you want to work with and not feel like all bummed out at the end of the day, because all you're seeing is work comp and Medicare patients. Like, that's huge too. What's that worth? Like, quality of life, having energy with your family when you get home instead of just feeling super burned out. So if that's what you want and you don't know how to do it, you have to view yourself as an investment and not a cost.
Yeah, no, like that was about, then the second thing I was going to say is like, we also got in this profession to help people because we were passionate about helping people. And now we're seeing, overwhelmingly, we're seeing some practices aside, right, where that's not able to happen. I had a meeting with a PT that we wanted to hire the other day, and I was asking him about his experience at one of these, you know, bigger mill clinics, and it's gotten so bad at this point, right? So bad, not only because of Corona, but just in general, right? It's kind of culminated in this, and they can't even do the thing you're passionate about. So now you're stuck in a job that you don't even like going. You can't even do the profession that you went to school for, right? So now you need to do what Danny's talking about, which is take that chance on yourself. It's the best investment you can make. Like, yeah, you can go your money to Apple. Maybe you'll make 3 to 5, whatever the market is, right? But what kind of percentage can you make on building an asset for you and your family and your kids, right? Every single day. And the energy that will come from that, we just see it expand, right? That whole abundance mentality, attraction law, right? That all that stuff is true if you can take that chance on yourself. It's the unifying factor. It's usually what happens. Like, to start, you need it. To hire somebody, you need it. To scale the 2 locations, you need it. To pull yourself out of treating so much, you need it. It's that's why I love that it's number one.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to reiterate, if you're just getting on this, our number one core principle is you're your greatest investment. You have to invest in yourself. It's not a cost. It's an investment, you know, and you have to view it that way. You have to change the way you're looking at things. And a lot of that comes down to the people that you are associating yourself with and what are they doing, right? And if you're stuck around people that are just content with life, then the way you view the world is going to be as such, right? And then when you start getting around people that sort of challenge your beliefs, which, you know, it's not like you are around Eve and I, but you get to listen to what we have to say and you get to hear our experience and the people that we work with. And that changes the way you view things too. So just this one step of being part of this group, you know, which is totally free, right? Which is like, there's so many good free resources out there. I get value from tons of them. That's why I've had a podcast for like 5 years straight now, because I love podcasts so much. I learned so much from it. I love sharing that with other people in our profession. So that's great. You're in the right first step. And associating yourself with people that are going to push you is huge. And it's a part of this idea of investing yourself via the network that you're around. So number two, we'll dive into this one. This is probably the biggest thing that we see either leads to people getting frustrated and staying at a side hustle for a very long time, or maybe going back to a clinic job, or, you know, being able to go all in on their own business and really hit the profitability numbers that they need. And that is, on the front end, selling high ticket cash packages for your services. This can be either straight up visit packages. It could be, you know, 10 visits or whatever it might be. It could be a productized service on the front end. Let's say that you work with a lot of runners and you have a very set kind of, you know, group that you work with. You know, if you package like programming and, you know, run retraining, or like, you know, doing a run analysis and then some visits with them, and you put all that stuff together, you give it a cool name and you sell it on the front end between $1,000 and $3,000 is where we recommend people are at, whether it's visit packages or, like I said, a productized service offer. Selling that on the front end is the difference between scaling to $10,000, $20,000 a month within a year and that taking you 2 to 3 years in many cases.
Yeah, we need, and we just went over this in our practice, right? We need commitment, not only for you that you can commit to selling a bigger high ticket item, which is just huge, both mentally, right, and business-wise in your practice, but also what's best for that patient, right? 99% of the time, is your patient going to get better seeing you 1 to 3 times, right? If I had chronic low back pain for 5 years, right. Absolutely not. You need them to commit to 6 to 10 visits, 1, 2, 3 months of care, and actually to get them the result they need to, right? So like, that's why I love packages so much, because it fits everything that we do. It fits this kind of like commitment, kind of high-end model for the patient, as well as it helps you so much on the business side. You know, it kind of forces you to sell high, so you've got to get good at sales, right? Because we see all the time, you can sell $75 for PT for an hour pretty easily. You don't need to be that good at sales. A lot of people can buy into that, but to get somebody to buy into a $1,200 package, right, for 6 visits, like that's going to take some legit language, some legit sales training, right? And then you both get such a good commitment. On the back end, right, they get such a good result where they come 2 to 3 times, kind of going off a little bit more, but 2 to 3 times, they get okay, they're out of pain, you know what I mean? But they don't exactly get that ultimate result they're looking for, right? And they end up, and this is how packages got started, right? I think for both of us, people like kept coming back, right? And like, we weren't getting the result we wanted to. It's like, well, I just need to make sure they commit to these 6 to 10 visits. And all of a sudden, word of mouth got a little bit bigger. All of a sudden, right, my patients gave me amazing Google reviews and the feedback started getting amazing, right? So the benefits of this stuff are just huge. And it's scary. I get it, but it is necessary.
So you bring up such a good point, which is it's as just as good as it is for us and our businesses, it's just as good for our clients. And when we look at the psychology of why this works, it's because part of what we do, the way that we teach sales, the way that we found for it to be a very seamless process for someone to come in, not feel like they're being heavily sold to, but very clear on what their goals are, why they want to achieve those, what the actual prognosis and outcome looks like, all of that allows us to get better buy-in, essentially compliance with the people that we work with. Take that clarity and then you apply financial buy-in as well via they've already paid upfront for a solution to a problem. The likelihood of them actually getting that solution to a problem is dramatically higher. And the numbers are this. So we know across the board, and even in my practice before we started doing this, you know, I spent a good solid 2-3 years before I started actually selling packages. And the funny thing is I actually had somebody that told me from the get-go that I should do it. And they were very smart. Like there was it was a consultant basically that I worked with at my office. And he was like, hey dude, you should sell packages. Like this is, you know, you have way better cash flow. And I was just, the reason I didn't do it is because I didn't know how to sell it. And it made me very uncomfortable to talk to people about the price that I was charging, let alone a package of visits that I'm like, there's no way anybody's going to do that, right? So, but what happens is real numbers across the board, we see people drop off around visit 2.5, all right? So 2.5 is somewhere between 2 and 3, depending on the person, they drop off. And here's what you're going to get. Oh, I got to check my schedule. Sorry, I need to reschedule. You know, let me see like what my meetings look like and I'll call you back. Meaning they're never going to call you back. They're busy and they feel symptomatically better. So they're going to go on with their life. They don't want to have to come to your office anymore, which I get, we're busy. But if you get them half the way there, they just get some symptomatic relief. Eventually that comes back. They think you're not very good at your job. And they think that they did everything that they need to because they started to feel better. So it's a really nasty sort of catch-22 for your business. If you don't know how to sell these things, you're going to have less overall compliance from what we found. Now, there's definitely some outliers out there. And we definitely have some people that we work with that they just do such a good job in their community. They built so much trust. You know, they're like deep roots in the area and people just stick around with them forever. But by and large, what we've found is high ticket on the front end dramatically improves your outcomes as well as your compliance and your cash flow. So anything to add on that? Or I'll take them through a little example here in a second, but anything to add on that?
Yeah, I mean, just a quick thing. It's like a good analogy, right? Is if someone is changing the way they eat, right? And they change and they eat clean for a week, they may feel better, but should they stop eating clean at that point?
Yeah.
Like, no. But do they want to? Yes. What's going to provide that incentive that they stick with it? Because that's ultimately your goal, is to get people the best result. And people, bottom line, need incentive financially, as well as like buy-in, yes, and therapeutic alliance, but they need incentive. And this checks that box in an easy and very effective way. But yeah, let's look at the numbers. I'm excited to dig into this. I think we're about to blow some minds.
Yeah. So, okay. So let me move out of the way here for a second, so you guys can see this. Okay. On the left, let's just say you're charging $200 a visit. We'll do this because easy math. Not everybody's going to charge that, although everybody should be able to charge that. That's what we charge in our practices. That's what people charge in towns as small as 20,000 people that we work with. Okay. This isn't just big cities where you can do this. We have people that charge as high as $350 to $400 per visit, depending on their demographic and the niche in which they serve, right? The more, the less people like you that serve your niche, the higher prices you can charge. Okay. So we're going to use this as just sort of a baseline, $200 a visit. So if you don't sell packages, let's give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's say they make it to that third visit. We know across hundreds of practices that we've worked with and our own, drop off is going to be around 2.5 visits, right? So let's just make it an even 3. So we'll make these people feel slightly better about their position. So let's say somebody pays $200 a visit, average 3 visits, you're going to get $600 is the front end value of that client, right? We would have to factor in many other factors to figure out the lifetime value. But here's what I can tell you. The likelihood of somebody sticking around long term to do some sort of continuity-based work with you or move over to some other service that you offer is very low if they drop off at visit 2.5 to 3, meaning they're not super into you, okay? So let's say you just go and you're able to double it with packages. Let's say you just sell a 6-visit package and everybody comes through the door, they buy a 6-visit package instead of just going visit to visit and then dropping off at visit 3, right? Now, we have different packages that people will sell. This is just an easy example. Same price point, it brings you up to $1,200. So you've doubled the initial value of that client. Not only that, here's the other thing you have to keep in mind. You're getting this money on day one. So if this is a Monday and you see this person 6 times over a 6-week period, that Monday you have $1,200 that is going to go into your account as it goes through processing a couple of days later. So your bank account, your cash flow is going to have $1,200 that goes into it right away. If somebody comes in 3 visits, let's say it's spaced over 3 weeks, you're getting $200, $200, $200. Your cash flow is in a significantly worse position by spacing it out that way versus allowing you to then take that to then reinvest in other things. Maybe you do that into advertising, content, paid ads, lead generation. Maybe it's so you can hire somebody. If you get enough of a bolus up front, you can reinvest in equipment. You invest in a lot of things. Maybe it's just a cash store so that you have, you know, some safety there in case a pandemic happens, for example, things like that. So this is just a better cash position for us to be in as a business. Not only that, we found people that do a package are like 5 times more likely to stick around for continuity. So let's just say, you know, that a percentage of these people stick around. If you have 20 new people that come through the door and this is your average, you're going to make $12,000 in revenue off of these 20 people. Now, let's say you have the same 20 people and instead they all get a package of 6 visits. You've generated $24,000 of revenue. You've doubled your business for the same amount of new people through the door, which we all know is the one of the harder things to do in a business is get more new patients in a cash practice, right? And if we can just increase what they're worth to us, as well as help them get a better outcome, it puts our business in a great position, not to include ongoing accountability or continuity. So how long do they stick around to do maintenance-based work? Maybe they do some digital strength and conditioning work. Maybe they do another program you have to offer, whatever, and or send somebody your way that's a friend or family member of theirs. Much higher here. And yes, they've paid more, but they've also got a way better outcome and they're way more indoctrinated in your culture versus here. So your business, if we look at the back end of that, over the course of 12, 24 months, the difference is probably 3 times as far along in your business as if you're just here, which many of you are here and you're not even charging $200. You're charging like $100. So you shoot yourself in the foot twice by charging less and not having anything on the front end as far as a package goes. Make sense?
So good, right? Like what we know, one of the hardest things to do in any business, right? Typically is getting new people in the door, right? And so we just see it a lot, right? And so like, I'm struggling to get new people. I'm struggling with people. And I'll look at the numbers and we'll deep dive and I'll be like, you're getting plenty of new people because honestly, you know, we can say anywhere from like 5 to 8 patients a month can really build a therapist schedule over time by doing what we're doing right here, right? You don't need 20 new patients every month. You really don't. You need really about 5 to 8 to build a schedule, right? If you're implementing the system, because this builds a schedule, like you said, it creates this buy-in, right? Of people who just stick around, not only for the package, they may buy another one, but again, they send more people your way. They stick around for continuity. It's just what works.
Yeah. 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 And the only reason you wouldn't do this is because you don't know how to sell it. Like that's the only reason, only reason why I didn't do it. I mean, on the whiteboard, it makes clear sense, right? Like it makes total sense. But the only reason why you wouldn't do it is because you just don't know how to do it, or it gives you a lot of anxiety. You know, if you're like, oh man, I don't like to talk to people about money because I get all sweaty and I start breathing heavy. And like, so you're, you have an anxious response to the idea of talking to somebody about money. In my head, you know, I used to think, oh, well, if they come to see me, this, we were charging $175 a visit. I was like, if they come to see me, that's like, dude, that might be their grocery money. Like, I don't want them to spend their grocery money because their back hurts. So what I would do is I would see them for like two visits, and then I would program out 6 weeks of stuff for them to do, which would take me an hour, you know, plus, and then I would send that to them. And then I would just be like, cool, just finish this for like the next 6 weeks and you should be good to go. Like, first of all, their outcome was not great in comparison, because how many people are self-motivated enough to literally be like, all right, every, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to stick to this exactly.
They Some wouldn't be there might. If they're self-motivated. They wouldn't be seeing you, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And maybe there's a small percentage of people that actually do that, but very, very few would. And I had this, you know, sort of idea that I was like, well, if they see me for another visit, they're not going to be able to buy groceries for their kids. How crazy is that? Like, if you really think about it, I literally thought that. I was like, oh man, I'm going to want to, like, people need to like pay their mortgage, or like they're going to buy gas. You know, like I'm not a necessary service. And I viewed myself in a really poor light versus how much value we're actually providing to their life and being able to do these physical things that they can't, that they want to, that's affecting them in a really negative way. So some of this is the way that you look at yourself. You look at what you're who you're serving, what you're charging, what the value is of it, you know. And for me, a lot of that shift started to come from my CPA at the time, actually. His name's Bruce. You know, he's like your traditional dorky CPA that came to see me, bilateral elbow pain. And he's like, Danny, I don't get it. I don't do anything. I'm not exercising. Like, you know, I don't know why my elbows hurt. But for 20 years, he's been sitting at a computer just clicking away at people's taxes and just like incredibly bad head position. So he was getting all this referral pain from his neck. So, you know, over the course of about a couple months, as we really corrected this, all his problems went away. I remember he came in one day and he just goes, dude, you're not charging enough. And I go, what do you mean? Because this is a very cheap man. Right? Like there's no way he's saying this, you know, on a normal basis. And he goes, you're not charging enough. He's like, when I came in here, I had pain in both my elbows. I thought I needed to go get injections. I had no idea what was going on. And you helped me realize it was coming from my neck. He's like, not only that, but my posture's better. He's like, I'm breathing easier. He started laughing because his wife thought he had lost weight. He didn't. He just was standing up straighter. Like he just had started to improve many of these things. And he's like, yeah, you're not charging enough. You need to charge way more money. You know, and he started telling me his bill rate and mine, you know, it was like the way he correlated it. And then it just needed to be more. So at that moment, I started realizing, man, dude, we're super valuable. I got this CPA telling me he's breathing better. And then I saved him getting injections. And I'm over here thinking people are not going to pay for it because they have to buy groceries. And it just was like a terrible view of it. And sometimes it takes people like that to really help dial that in. And that's when we started really shift to high ticket, selling what we were worth and understanding the sales process. I don't know if you had a moment like that with you, dude, but like for me, you know, it took something like that to actually realize what we do is important.
Yeah. No, I mean, what I want to focus on is that money mindset, because that's really what I see so much, right? Like there's these, I kind of wrote down these three beliefs that I feel like most people, why they have a lot of struggle with this. Like one is that kind of you thought what was going on in your brain and how you understood money at the time is how every single person who walked in the door thought about money, right? So I feel like that's something that so many people make a mistake of, is that they think whatever I've got going, I'm in a lot of debt. I'm really struggling to buy groceries. Yeah. So everybody that walks in my door, right? So, and you have no idea what's going with them. The biggest failure you can make is to put your kind of perceptions on what they're doing, right? I would say number one. Number two is, and we hit the nail on the head and we talk about it all the time, right? Is just the value that we bring as physical therapists. Like, I love this profession, the impact that we can make on people and that we are seeing, right? You know, all the stuff, avoiding unnecessary surgeries, avoiding medical costs, not only of just having somebody who's at their side, like somebody to guide them, you know what I mean? Help them with their health and wellness that we can just do in this model that really nobody else is doing really in the medical profession, like period right now, right? And then the last one, which is a little bit harder for some people to grasp, is that like they see money as this like finite thing, right? Like you can't get more time back. You cannot like make more hours in the day. You can make more money. Like it, like you can't like at any time, if you wanted to, you could go do make more money. But these people, like you're giving them back their health and their wellness. And that stuff is just priceless. So you just need to understand that like money is not the end all be all, right? Like giving them this health and this wellness and their time and their families back and all this stuff is just, it's amazing. And that's what I want a lot of people to focus on.
You know, you bring up a good point about this idea of, you know, helping organize their efforts as well, like their health and wellness efforts. I had a guy that I worked with for over a year and he would drive in about an hour away from here. Little bit older. He was in his early 60s. A very accomplished entrepreneur in his own right, legitimately owned a gold mine, like an actual gold mine in Colorado. Had owned like 100 Pizza Huts back in the day, sold it. Like interesting guy. And for him, you know, he ended up coming to see us because when he took his grandkids to Disney, he couldn't walk around with them physically. He had to get a power rascal scooter basically to scoot around there. And that was embarrassing for him. And the real nail in the coffin was when he tried to get on a roller coaster with his grandson, they had to get an extension for the safety bar because he was so big. And he's just literally like breaking down in my office, telling me the story about this extension and like how he couldn't walk his grandkids around. And a lot of this was coming from a surgery he had on his leg, his foot that he never actually did anything with. He was just too busy to do any rehab. Right. So we see this guy over the course of about 6-8 weeks, huge turnaround, way more mobile, right? But also clear on why he's doing the things that he's doing. And he's put off his health for so long because of chasing these other things that interest him. And he said to me one time, you know, he was like, dude, I drive an hour to come here because you're the only person I can find that's quarterbacking my health and wellness. That's what he said. He was like, dude, you're like the quarterback of my health and wellness.
Love that analogy. Yep.
Yeah, me too. And when he said it, I was like, that makes a lot of sense because we were talking about sleep. We were talking about food. We're talking about his stress eating habits that he had, you know, and why that was. And, it, you know, for him, it was all about like, we were trying to coach movement and improve these things. And the compliance with that and the relationship that we developed was really valuable. And he saw so much value in it because it's rare to see somebody that's going to sit down with you. It's going to have a conversation with you about what you want and be able to help you understand and plan out how to get there, as well as vet other people to get involved in the process. Because we had to find him a personal trainer. We had to find him a dietitian. You know, he had to talk to a psychologist. We had to get these other people involved, you know, and the difference for him in a year was astronomical. And this is somebody that applies value to everything. Value, and he's going to buy a company, right? Like time sensitive as could be. Like his time is the most important thing to him. And what he basically did was prolong his life, right? He got more time while he's here, his health, which is crazy, right? What is that worth? And I think that's what we have to look at with these people is, you know, what are we helping them do, actually helping them do? And how do you apply an ROI to be able to interact with your grandkids, which he had 8 of them, interact with your grandkids, you know, in a more effective way, get more out of that relationship for longer, right? I don't know what that's worth, but it's worth a lot more than whatever he paid, you know, us over that time. So, you know, for sure, charge what you're worth, high tickets where it's at, changes your business. But as you start hearing some of these things and reframing these, you may not have had these experiences, but hopefully you can hear some of these things and take that as, oh, wow, man, we are incredibly important and valuable. You know, and yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I think almost all PTs, I mean, maybe I'm making somewhat of an assumption, right? But like, I think we've all encountered a conversation where somebody has probably cried or gotten very, very emotional in a one-on-one session with us, right? Yeah. So tell me that we don't have impact. Tell me that we can't make a difference in somebody's life kind of end to end and look at that situation. Like there's no way we're not having impact because that kind of emotion is not driven for something that is should be commoditized or that is not valuable, right? Like it shows you how valuable you are. And again, we just undervalue it. I still don't know why. Like I get it, we're a new profession. There's all these things, right? But that time is gone, man. Like we need to get absolutely rid of that belief.
Yeah. And look, the more people that cry in your office, the better you are at connecting with people. I remember my first mentor, This was at a military base in Augusta, Georgia. This guy was like, he was like a heavy research-based clinician. Somehow I got assigned to him under my first, it was my first 8-week clinical rotation, right? At a military base, primarily, it was a Signal Corps communications basically base where they were doing a lot of training. So sort of like after basic training, they go do additional training for their job. So these are young soldiers. You know, you can get jaded with that. A lot of them will be malingerers and they'll make stuff up, so they don't have to do physical training or whatever. But this guy, I remember I had a lady that came in and she had like her hip was bothering her. And she was like sitting there breaking down. She was so frustrated. And I remember I was sitting there with him, and this is the first time I've ever seen it happen. And he just got up and left, like walked out. And basically said like, okay, I'm gonna give you a minute. Let me know when you're done. You know? And I was like, whoa, this is fucking weird, dude. Like, you got this lady crying in your office and I'm sitting there talking to her, trying to be like, it's all right. Like, we're gonna figure this out. And he just got up and walked out. It was like, yeah, all right, let me know when you're finished. And then he came back in and she was done crying. And I thought I was just like, so weird. I would never do that to somebody, you know? But we have this ability to be able to connect with people, and they're so frustrated and finally get a chance to talk to somebody. That's an example of exactly what not to do, you know? And going forward, like I had somebody break down in my office like a week ago and I broke all COVID protocols and gave her a hug. Cause I was like,
how dare you?
It was like worth it. Okay. That's yeah. Okay. It's going to be all right. Like just, but people get so frustrated. And I think that, you know, you're right. It makes, dude, such a good point. How many people break down in the dentist's office? You know, aside from just pain, you know, but they just are connected with their dentist so well that they're just like telling them all their, you know, their biggest fears, and then they break down. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no. And I think it's a good segue kind of into that third piece, right? I don't know if you got more on it, right? But like what you want is those kinds of people in your door too, right? There's certain kind of people who don't want to go down that path. There's certain kind of people who don't want this whole quarterback for your health, right? And those are not your people. And we want to make sure is that you're finding the right people. So right.
What's yeah. So number three, you got to learn how to market. Like you got to learn how to find your people, because they're not inherently just going to find you on their own. And sometimes they do, right? Like they're looking for a solution. They're looking for the help that they want. And it's just hard to find and vet the right people. I mean, just think of any professional service that you may have to, you know, find. You know, I'm on my like third CPA that we've worked with. That, and as our business has evolved, we've had to find, you know, different ones. And it's because, you know, things change and I have to figure out, well, what the hell, like, what do these credentials mean? You know, what's their experience? What other kinds of businesses do they work with? Do they have a specialty? I ask other people, like, who do you work with? Who do you recommend? You know, you look up different reviews and things of that nature. It's no different when somebody is looking for us, which is one of the reasons why, you know, if we really feel strongly, if this is what you want to do, the group that you want to work with, these people that you want to empower, you owe it to them to be able to go and find them. You know, it's like we marketing is fishing for human beings. And that's what the way I look at it. It's like, how do I reel more of these people in? Not in a bad way, you know, not in a malicious way, in a way of, I want to help you. This is just my business. But how fortunate are we to be able to have a business where we get to help people live, you know, a better life. So understanding how to actually market and go find those people is really important. And there's really three key areas that we found. You want to touch on those real quick?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I'll do a little summation of each, right? And we can deep dive one by one after that. Number one, by far, and this is how I have grown my practice to multiple providers, right? Multiple locations, is this idea of local grassroots marketing, right? Building relationships in your community, giving virtual and in-person workshops, like just providing value to your community. Something that when I was in my insurance-based practice, we talked about all the time and never did. And if we did do it, we drug our feet and we absolutely hated it. And now our team, we love doing it. Like it is some of the most fun that we have. And it is also how we market. Like so cool to kind of align those things together, right? Number two, content, right? Another thing we talk about as PTs, can we give our information out? We need to advocate for our profession. Again, now this is how we market. We provide content, Instagram, social media, blogs, right? We provide as much content, free, solid content out in the community, right? To solve their problems and to establish ourselves as expertise. And the third one, right? The most kind of complex one, but definitely the age for solid marketing and getting ROI on it, it's never been better, right? Say what you want about social media and Facebook ads and like that. That stuff works, right? So like, it is the good time to be a marketer, right? So like, that is the third one. But honestly, we just started doing really deep diving into Facebook ads. We were able to again, launch with multiple providers at a very high price point, right? Without that stuff. So like, I want most of you early on to focus, right, on local marketing and content.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even know what marketing was when we started our practice, but I knew that I could teach. Or that I had to get better at teaching. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Because of the position I took with Kelly Storetz Group, and I was like, cool, great opportunity to work on my skill set. So I started teaching in the community, teaching coaches, teaching people that were at gyms how to manage themselves. You know, taking this approach of just educating and being incredibly helpful, and just hoping that that would turn into business for me. That was my entire marketing plan, right? So when you look at local. And really where these things fit in. And like Eve said, you know, this idea of local is like, how many people in your area, know you, right? How many people in your area could you text or call and go meet for, coffee or something or lunch or whatever? Like, if you don't have a lot of people like that, you need to improve those relationships, because those are the people that are going to be thinking about you if someone comes their way that has a problem physically, right? So this is just essentially local relationships. The challenge for people that end up going somewhere new is that when you move somewhere that nobody knows you, or you don't really have a lot of infrastructure, you don't have much in terms of support system to send folks your way. And at the start, it's really hard. The first 50 people getting through your door in that situation are the hardest. People that have a great local support system of some sort, they can sort of like ride that for a while, and they can get kind of complacent with it. And when they go to scale, that's usually where they have a harder time, because they didn't have to work quite as hard at the front end and really hustle quite as hard. So then, they can kind of get stuck in that phase where they don't really scale past themselves. People that we see that typically break through this tend to do great in business because they've really earned it and it's been really hard for them. So the local marketing side is like just really getting involved with the community, being a part of the community, teaching workshops,
That's what you did, right? Things. How many workshops did, like, that's what you did, right? You were new to the area. How many workshops did you, I forgot like what the number was. It was crazy.
June of 2014, I looked back at this not too long ago. And on my calendar, I taught 7 workshops and 3 weekend courses for MobilityWatt. So I was teaching and one of them was in Atlanta. Two were in different cities, but, so 7 local workshops, 1 2-day course locally and 2 more somewhere else. So, it was a ton, right? And it was like that for like a year. I was teaching a ton every single month. So for me, I did it through workshops. I developed that local presence. Here's the other thing that's really great about today is like, I had to go share my ideas here, but you can share your ideas via content in many different platforms that people can engage with. They can, absorb it, and you can start to essentially build the relationship and the trust. And this is like a crazy inception moment right now. Like, think about what's happening right now, right? This is content. We're teaching you something that we have a subject matter expertise in, and we're showing you the framework that we found hundreds of practices have used successfully. Go figure, like you're going to, if this like strikes you in a positive way, we're going to get that much closer in terms of our relationship of you trusting us and the information that we have. And maybe you go apply some of the stuff and you get a big win. Awesome. We're just building trust. That's all it is. So you leverage your content with whatever niche it is that you really hit a home run with, and put that in front of people in areas where they can consume it, right? So that's where you can share your ideas and you can really start to build trust and relationship. Paid ads. And Eve said, this is one of the last things that they focus on. And it could be the first thing, it could be the last thing, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's a part of the equation in almost every business that we see, because you can even take content and pay to have that content put in front of the right people in the right area. So you're actually saying, I want these eyeballs to see it in this radius with a local business. That's really, really powerful. And the last things that we would throw in here, but really this comes down to how you do in your practice, is referrals, right? So if you're getting good buy-in via people finishing a plan of care, your referrals are going to skyrocket because they're going to develop a better relationship with you. They're going to send more people your way. And what most people do is they rely exclusively on this. And the old model is, hey, try to get close to some doctors, bring some sandwiches and some cookies, talk to them every once in a while, you know, whatever it might be, and hope, let me cross my fingers, and hope that they send some people my way. Send me the scraps at the end, right? I don't know about you, Eve, but like I've literally never been to a doctor's office in Atlanta to talk to them about sending me a patient ever, not once, you know, and I've had quite a few physicians come through or physician spouses come through that come see us as clients, but I've never gone there and said, hey, send someone my way. And I always thought of that as if you were really that good at what you do, why the fuck are you going to somebody's office asking them to send them your way? Like, wouldn't you just be busy? Wouldn't you just be really good? Like, so if somebody comes to see me and they're like, I'm a great personal trainer, send people my way. You're not that great. You're in my office. If you were that great, you'd be super, super busy. Why are you here?
That's such a good point. I've never thought that way, right? Like I did the insurance based side. So I've been to plenty of physicians' offices, right? And I know from personal experience that it's 99% of the time, absolutely terrible, not a fun experience, right? And just like you sit around, you wait around, you maybe talk to the doctor for 2 to 3 minutes. It's a very superficial conversation. You feel like you're kind of begging for them, like you're lower end on the totem pole. Like we have direct access. I'm pretty sure in some regard in every state now, right? Like some more limited than the others for a reason, people. Like direct access. And I still like, I'll talk to the students at MUSC, you know, I give a little lecture on this stuff, right? And the fact that we're, you know, 99% direct access, right? Just blows people's minds all the time. Like, are you like, how does that even work? Right? It's just like these three things. We provide value to the community by local marketing, content, and paid ads. And we do it consistently over time, over and over again. And people start to know, like, and trust us. And that leads to referrals, right? Like it's, I know that sounds like easy, you know what I mean? But like, it is as easy as it sounds. Like you just need to do those three things.
Well, that I think is it's simple. That works. Listen, simple and easy. So it's very simple. Yep. But it's the consistently doing it is not easy. That's where people fall off, right? Is like, it's, and they're like, oh, this is too simple. I'll give you a perfect example. If you just put money behind good content in front of your direct audience in a radius of where you're at, people will start to recognize you. I'm telling you, this has happened to me on multiple occasions. I once got a guy on a bus to go get a rental car in Hawaii. They came up to me and asked me if I owned Athlete's Potential. This, I was like, yeah, how do you do it? I know you somehow. He's like, no, dude, I've seen a lot of your videos. Like my hips feel so much better after having done those, you know, those exercises that you talked about. Like, that's awesome. I've never even seen this guy as a client, you know, and we're literally going to get a rental car in Honolulu. And he just comes up to me on a bus where we're waiting. Like, so that level of just honestly being able to put content in front of the right people that you're developing that bridge with them, that trust with them, it's so valuable and it just needs to be leveraged in the right way. And it needs to be coordinated with the rest of these things. It's just one component of it. And I think that's where people miss the mark is they try to get super complex, right? And they're like, well, I got to have retargeting campaigns. And this needs to be, you know, based off of where they entered my funnel. And then, you know, this need, I'm going to retarget them with this pixel. And if they're here for 2 minutes, then they get this message and, you know, all of this other stuff. And like, if you own an e-commerce company that's literally based off of small margins, then maybe that's how you have to do it. We work with a lot of practices that literally just get organized on the local side. And all of a sudden they're at 20, 30 patients a month, you know, no additional ads or content. They just are starting to get known in their area and they're getting people really great outcomes, but they're doing it on a consistent basis. It's like Eve, it's your 90-day local marketing sprint. Like, right. So like, it's a lot of work. It's not that hard in terms of like, you know, simplicity of it, but it's a lot of work, but it works.
Yeah, I think a lot of us too, right? I see this as a theme for a lot of people we work with. It's this paralysis by analysis, right? Yes. Like for content, for sure. It's like, man, I want to write a 5-page dissertation on sciatica and where it originates and how to treat it. It's like, man, you just need to just honestly in the beginning, just post content consistently and just simplify the hell out of it. Yeah. Right. And simplify the hell out of it and post it. Don't overthink it. Don't spend 3 days, right, worrying about Instagram copy and thinking about what other physical therapists might think of what you put out there.
Oh, it's so true. And here's the thing too. understand when you start sharing your ideas, you're probably going to share ideas that are going to resonate with other clinicians. This is actually not what you want unless you're trying to work with other clinicians. So, you know, I realized this quickly. I would write blog posts and I would get like comments on these blog posts. And I was like, holy shit, I've made it. People are commenting on my blog posts, and it would just be nothing but other physical therapists, either disagreeing with something or agreeing with something. And I realized my messaging is totally off. None of these people are coming to see me, you know? And you know, when you start to realize it's really more about your process, simplifying your process and showing people, you know, what it is that you do, really like what you do, I guess, instead of not necessarily exactly how you do it, because that would be so hard to do via content. And it's really your frameworks of how you work with people. So perfect example. Our framework is, look, your greatest investment, you have to invest in yourself. You have to build your skill sets, your network, and your actual skill sets of information that you can leverage on the business side to match your clinical side. You need to sell high tickety on the front end. You have to improve your sales skills to be able to sell on the front end between $1,000 and $3,000 for the sake of your business. You need to do this in a cash practice. You also need to learn how to go find the people that are the right fit for you. These are our three core tenets that are our framework. Now, there's lots of information underneath all of those. You have to understand what's your framework for working with the people that you work with locally, right? So if you work with runners, what are those things that you do? That's what you develop your content off of to simplify what it is that you do so it makes sense for them. Because oftentimes we confuse everybody with the intricacies of these things that we think are important. How many randomized control trials show this versus this? Right. No one cares because most people don't even know what a randomized control trial is. So you really have to keep it simple, dumb it down, and that will help you engage and connect with the right people in your area that you can truly help, which is what it's all about. Then you can show them how smart you are when you get them in the office, if it's even relevant at that point. But keep it to yourself, you know, and really focus on the simple stuff.
Yeah, you're just trying to get them in the door. Provide some value, get them in the door. The simpler it is, the better. And I can't emphasize this enough. And I think one time we'll have to post it. You've shared it with some of the people, you know, in the Clinical Rainmaker Mastermind. But like some of my videos early on were so terrible. So like, get over yourself and just start posting stuff, man. Like I looked literally like I was homeless, you caveman. Know, sleeping on the street and slash caveman slash like I had sweatpants, you know, a dirty shirt, a giant beard, and I literally hadn't cut my hair in probably like 6 months. So
yeah, you're looking kind of jacked too. You look like you've been lifting some weights.
That's all. Right? Yeah. Well, I had this weird transitionary period when I sold my practice and Mother Predis. So all I did was kind of work out and hang out with my kids. It was great, but you know, it took me a while to get my act together.
Who's this kind of buff homeless guy? Why is he talking about stretching? Like that's right.
Yeah. No idea. No.
You gotta start somewhere. But you know, so to reiterate three things, you're the greatest investment. You got to invest yourself. Sell high ticket on the front end. It dramatically increases your revenue as well as improves the continuity side of things, where it improves lifetime value of, you know, people sticking around as well as sending other people your way. And you have to learn how to market, you know, and, you know, for those of you that are, you're like, oh, cool, this framework makes sense. You know, I want to apply that. Guys, this is what we do, right? Like we can go deep on a lot of these things and we can show you exactly how to do all this stuff. This is what our team does. We've helped hundreds of practices get started. We work with over 100 practices in our mastermind and our other coaching programs currently that are actually like doing this right now. They're growing their businesses. They're not having to work for somebody else the rest of their life, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, $80,000 months in cash practices that's happening currently, whether you think it's possible or not. There's people that we directly work with that are doing this right now. If you're looking to get some help on improving your cash practice, getting started, scaling past yourself, we have different programs that are appropriate for different levels of where you're at. Here's what you do. Type sales in the comment. One of our teammates will reach out to you. That's probably where you need help more than anything from what we see. Type sales. One of them will reach out to you. We can see if you're the right fit to jump on a call with one of our team members. If you are, this is about an hour-long call where we're actually digging into your business with you. And think of it like a triage call where we want to know, all right, well, what are you doing right? What are you doing wrong? What are your goals? What things are missing? And you may or may not even at that point be appropriate to work for us. But either way, we're going to get you crystal clear on what you actually need to do to get your practice to the level where it can support you, you and your family, and then eventually grow past yourself if you decide to do that. Because figuring out on your own is very possible, incredibly slow and time consuming and costly if you really look at it. Getting some help from people to do this on a repetitive basis, it's the fastest way. It's a cheat code to business. So type sales. If something you're interested in, one of our teammates will reach out to you and we'll see if it's the right fit mutually. So Eve, to sign off, man, anything that's, that you want to finish with?
No, man. I am excited when we put these frameworks together. And like you said, we literally have hours of content on subsets of each one of these, right? But this is such a good high level look right? And if you can just start implementing these things on a consistent basis, we know you will start to see results.
For sure. There you go. Top three, invest in yourself, sell high ticket. Only reason you're not is because you don't know how to do it. And that's a learnable skill. And then learn how to get the right people in the door because they need you just as much as we need them. And you know, if you find them and you're able to speak to them, your practice is going to grow, but you're also going to have just a great time while you're there because you're going to be working with the people that you get energy from, that you jive with, you know, the people that you have a relationship with, you would have a relationship with if you just, they were a friend of yours, right? Like so many of our clients, I see at a music festival, or not so much right now, but prior to, you know, a global pandemic, we'd see them around town, you know, and it was just great, man. We'd grab a beer with them, chill out, hang out, whatever. Our kids would play together. We'll just catch up. And not as if it's anything weird. You know, I never felt that way in clinics that I was at before, you know, so you start to become a staple in your community and it's really a cool thing. So, all right, guys, we'll sign off. We'll finish this one right at about an hour. Try to keep these between 45 minutes and an hour. It's hard for Eve and I to just, you know, not ramble a little bit. It is what it is. Nice one today, guys. We will catch you next week when we are actually, oh, we're doing this, a good one. We're doing a client highlight with Tim Wu, who is going to be an awesome example of what's possible focusing on the cycling niche. So Tim's going to be jumping on with us out of Southern California. Super cool guy. He's going to kill it. We barely will have to like say anything because he's just so good at just highlighting what he's done. It's going to be a lot of fun. So you guys should definitely come next week, 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. We're jumping on with Timmy Wu. He's going to tell us his story. It's pretty cool. And you guys should get a lot out of that as well. So, hey, thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next week.
Hey, wait a minute. Just to let you guys know, we are closing in on 200 views on iTunes. That's crazy. Most podcasts hardly get to 100 views, let alone 200. And this is such a niche specific PT business podcast. That's wild. So let's try to rally the troops and get to 200 reviews for this podcast. The first thing you need to do is you got to subscribe to this sucker, whether it's on iTunes or any other platform that you're listening to on, so you know when new episodes are coming out. The next thing, make sure that you leave a review. I'd love to hear what you have to say. I read all of them. It means a lot to me. The next thing, guys, take a screenshot of whatever episode you're listening to and put it in your stories on Instagram and tag me in it. That's at Danny Matei PT. If you do this, I will repost it. So you'll get a bump. I'll get a bump. We'll share this information with a lot more people because that's the goal, guys. We want to get this information in front of a lot more people. So take a screenshot, share it on Instagram stories, tag me in it, and I will repost it. So here we go. Let's try to get to 200 reviews for the podcast. Thanks for listening.